You are listening to Stay Lifted, Sis, with your host, Devin J. Hall. We respectfully acknowledge that we are blessed upon the land by which we gather, live, and connect. It is the traditional and unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, specifically the Kwantlen, the Katsi, the Semiamu, and the Tawasin First Nations. My guest today is somebody that I am, oh my God, y'all want to stand Britney Spears and Oprah and Michelle Obama and Michelle Williams and whoever you want. Whatever, this woman is, I met you in a Bud Sisters meeting a couple of months ago, and the minute you came in the chat, like, you had this big smile on your face, you got this beautiful dark skin, and you are, I looked at you and I went, oh, I want more of that. Ascended All Natural, aka Sabrina, who also happens to have one of my favorite names in the world because it is a rare name. You don't often get the opportunity to meet women named Sabrina. And I've only ever met one in my life, and she was hilarious, and you're hilarious. So I add that to the list of things that make you awesome. Welcome to Stay Lifted, Sis.
Thank you very much, sweetheart. Thank you for having me on your podcast today.
So really, you are, I'm not a Bud Sister anymore, but I think there's like upwards of 700 women across the country and from around the world that are Bud Sisters still, yeah. All of whom who smoke cannabis, all of whom are connected spiritually to the plant, either because they grow it or they smoke it or they eat it or they stick it up their ass or take it in any number of ways. What got you started with cannabis? What made you go, you know what, that's the route that I want to take?
For me, I started cannabis really late in life. I mean, like, I'll say maybe 8 years ago. But 8 years ago, because before that I was a massive chicken. I had feathers all over. I was stuck in the mindset that marijuana, weed, Mary Jane was for, you know, it was the underbelly of stuff. You know, it was bad. It was gang related stuff. It was, you know, deadhead stuff. And it wasn't until, you know, I was battling for many, many, many years with back pain for a very long time. And I had ended up with a really severe case of sciatica. And of course I go to the doctor and they're giving me prescriptions for this and prescriptions for that. And things that they gave me left me so messed up. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I was just very depressed. Depression obviously comes with back pain because you feel useless.
Yeah.
And that took me really into a dark space. I was just really, really upset. And so one day I had another bad episode. And I went back to my doctor again, and I came out with another handful of medication. And I'm looking at these pills, and I'm like so distraught. I'm like, I don't want to take these things because some part of my spirit, literally, it was my spirit just fighting against these things, and I did not want them. And I read about the side effects and all kind of things. And I said, I just want to heal my body. I just want to feel better. I don't want to get drugged up, right? So that day, that was the day that my husband said to me, he goes, listen, he goes, why don't you just take the weed? He doesn't consume marijuana, but he knows people who do. But he saw how much pain I was in. He goes, why don't you just get some weed? And I'm like, but I don't want to do that. You know, I'm scared. I was literally scared to take it. He says, listen, try it one time. If it doesn't work for you, fine, then don't do it again. So I said, I was in so much pain, I couldn't even sit up in the car. I was lying down in the car. And I said, okay, fine, I'll try it once. So he went, he got me a joint, came back with this thing the size of, I don't know, freaking bat. It was huge. And he's like, okay, just take a hit of it, right? And I'm like, okay. And I was just like really hesitant. And I lit it up and I took one little puff and I'm like waiting and waiting. He said, what are you waiting for? I says, well, I'm scared. I want to see how it's going to feel first before I go take any more, right? We're in the
car. Which is what any cannabis educator worth their salt would say. They would say, take one puff,
exactly.
Sit for 30 minutes, take another puff if you need it.
Wait. So he told me, well, just take another one. He goes, the one that you just took was barely anything. So I said, fine. So I took a little bit more. And then I started to relax a little bit. I took a little bit more. And then he's driving down the street. And then I realized about 20 minutes in, I'm looking out the window and I was in awe of everything that I saw. And my husband says to me at the time, he goes, do you know that you're sitting up? I'm like, what? I'm like, whoa, I'm sitting up, man. This is cool. I did not know, with the severe pain that I had, I did not realize that I was sitting up in the car with no pain whatsoever. I was hanging out the window like a dog, just looking at everything. My tongue's just hanging out like, oh, wow, this shit is serious. And from that day, that's it. I was hooked. I'm like, I went and started doing more research. I spoke to my doctor, and thank God that she was open to it, you know, because I did research. I looked up that, you know, your doctor's able to supply you with it if you need. And she was amazing. She says, yeah, sure. We've got someone here that we're doing business with right now that I can get you, you know, on the program. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, how much do you need? And I'm like, okay. And took it from there. And I've been on it ever since. And since then, I have done research into like other ways to take besides smoking. And so I looked into how to cook it, how to make oil out of it, how to make butter out of it, how to cook with it, how to anything.
It is the most, dude, you can eat it. You can shove it in your vagina. You can shove it up your ass. You can put it in any part of your body and it will work.
I rub it on my skin.
Yeah.
I made the mistake one day. I went to work because I was having joint pain at the time in my knees. And so I have this little mixture of, you know, weed butter and whatever, and I mix it up and I rub it on my knees. But stupid me forgot, like, yo, you got to go to work this morning. So I'm at work doing my thing, and all of a sudden, why are my eyes feeling kind of tight? And I feel kind of weird. What the hell's going on? And then the light went on. I was like, bing. It's like, oh, shit. I completely forgot. I rubbed my knees thoroughly down with weed oil. So I was having a wonderful high at work. Nobody I was stoned, but I was fucking stoned out of my skull. Everything went well. No mistake.
I need to clarify something.
Yeah,
the average person who is using canna butter on their body is not going to get stoned. You have to use a lot, right?
Oh, I did. It works for me beautiful. I did it. I rubbed it in my skin and I got stoned. I was feeling quite lovely. It wasn't like a over-the-top stone, but I was buzzed at work. But it worked beautifully. So whenever I want something like that, I have a very strong oil that I make and I just rub it on any part of my body and give me like a half an hour. I'm good to go.
I love it. I have a friend who sends me a canna mixture that she makes with alcohol. And I barely needed it all anymore. I rubbed it on my back about a month ago and that was it. Like my body's like, yeah, you're good. You're good to go for another month. And it's exactly. A miracle.
It is really, really good. So Besides, once I got hooked onto that, that's it. All the other junk my doctor was giving me before, it's like gone.
Yeah. And it has such a huge effect on the quality of your life.
It frees you up.
Yeah.
It really frees you up. It really does. Because I had back pain, but a depression and bipolar. And ADHD, those things linger still, but not as severe to the point, because I was depressed to the point of suicide sometimes.
Yeah.
And once I got onto the cannabis, what helped me, it wasn't something that I delved into 100% to save me from those things, but it helped me to deal with those things, right? I didn't make it my complete go-to.
Yeah.
With the weed, the meditation, prayer, and whatnot, it all became one nice package that helped me slowly get my life back, you know? And
I love that you say that, because when I started smoking cannabis, I got weird. I got straight up weird. For 3 months, I sat on my balcony after I got arrested for the panic attack and I just smoked. And then one day I got up and I was like, okay, we're going to have a conversation, God. And I spent 4 days screaming about all the horrible things that had happened to me and been done to me. And I was like, I don't know if you can hear me, but if you can hear me, you are going to listen to everything. And then I started dancing and I started painting and I started drumming on my legs and I had like giant bruises. And my mom was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh no, this feels good. It's good. It's healing. And she's like,
you're letting it out.
She had me committed because she thought I was crazy. I lost my mind because the cannabis, it was like, oh, okay, you want to deal with your shit? We're going to deal with your shit. Mm-hmm. And I was not prepared for the volume. for like the depression and the anxiety and all of it to come out. But once it did, I had Loudmouth Brown Girl. I wrote a book. I started a podcast. I'm doing the digital thing. And you've been following me on Instagram for a while now. So you know my confidence has gotten up.
Right.
My teeth are all janky, but I'm still out there posting my videos and still smiling and still happy. And I was not like this 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I was definitely like head down, fuck the world, fuck all y'all, I don't care.
Right.
But cannabis, just that one puff, it was like, okay. Okay, see what I've been missing.
Weed, what I love about weed is that through your hard times, you don't tend to question yourself very much. You don't try to make yourself accountable for what's going on, right? But when you take a puff of that beautiful flower, it sends you inside yourself. And you ask yourself, okay, well, say you just snapped at someone, right? It's like, why did you snap at them? There's no need for you to snap at them. Find out why you really snapped at them. You know, it's like, I love who I am. And why am I like this? And what can I do to change that? And then you're dealing with whatever happened to you, you know, in any part of your life, everything just floats back, but it makes you look at these things you don't want to look at. Because when you are not on the flower, you spend your whole life pushing these things away.
Yeah.
Right? And finding other ways to deal with them besides looking inside yourself. But when you get a hold of that flower and you take a few puffs and you really release yourself, and then everything inside there just ends up dead in your face and you have to deal with it. So then you have to start questioning yourself. And really
part of it too is when you're depressed and you're dealing with anxiety and you have ADHD and you have bipolar disorder and you have all these other, like the alphabet soup of disorders as Black women are accused of having, it is like, you're fucking tired, man. I don't want to deal with my shit today. I just want to go. I worked all day. I cooked dinner for the kids. I cooked dinner for the partner. My ass wants to go to sleep and I'm done. Right. But when you sit there and I thank God for this, just because I had 3 months to sit there and be like, okay, let me look at myself. Let me look at what I could have done better. Okay. I couldn't have done stuff better back then, but this is what I can do better now.
That's right.
That time that you have to like heal all of the darkness, all of a sudden it makes sense. And I don't subscribe to the, well, bad shit happened for a reason. No, bad shit happened because people suck. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
But what am I going to do with all these rotten apples?
Right.
There is a chef out there somewhere that knows how to make something amazing out of rotten apples.
Definitely. It's what you choose to do with what you just discovered about yourself. Because I found myself spending too much time in the past, which was stopping me from going forward. And I'm like saying to myself, okay, I'm going on about the stuff inside my soul. The people who did these things to me or all these things that are happening around me, right? They don't care. They're not even sort of a second thought to them, but it takes up my entire day. Now, why am I holding on to something that somebody else isn't even holding on to? Like, I have to learn to let this shit go. I'm carrying around luggage that would break an elephant's back. And I'm like, I got to lighten up my luggage.
That part. That is why my back hurts. I am carrying shit that does not belong to me.
It doesn't belong to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm surrounded by my beautiful family. I have a lot of good things in my life, but the shit that I've been carrying is clouding all of that. And I can't see that because all I'm looking at, oh my God, look what's happened to me. Look what this is to me and look what's going on with me. It's like, stop.
Yeah.
Open your eyes. You know,
there was a white man one day, we used to go out and drive and hang out together. And he said to me, like, I wish you could just get over your shit. And it took me 4 years and I'm looking back and I'm like, yeah, okay. Now I know why I couldn't get over it, because first you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge that it happened. You have to be like, yes, this is the list and it is long and it is dark. And there are some evil things that evil people have done to me, but then you have to burn it. Let it go, because that anger, that rage, like you were saying, that pain, we carry it in our backs. We carry it in our thighs. We carry it in our hearts, everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. One of the things that I started doing when I started smoking cannabis was focusing on my chakras.
Oh yeah.
And I had never done that before. And I opened up my heart chakra and that was eye-opening, because I was just like, I'm just meditating on my heart. My heart had a whole bunch of other ideas. My heart was like, oh yeah, let's have a conversation about the last 34 years. And it's going to be long and it's time for Devin to stay quiet. And that was scary. That was really scary. But the upside is that because of cannabis, I get to meet women like you. And so I'm like, there's somebody holding a rope and being like, come on, sis, come with me. Right. And that there's all these amazing things that have happened because of that. When you started smoking, right, and you started doing your research and you found the people around you that smoked weed, what was the first thing that shocked and surprised you about the new company that you were keeping? Because I know that there's new people in your life that weren't there before you started smoking.
I always hung around with smokers. And what ended up happening is that now when my smoker friends saw me smoking, they were like, what?
Yeah. that was always like when I would go to a party and smoke, everyone was like, Devin's smoking weed. I want to smoke with Devin.
And this is exactly when it happened. They're like, when did you start doing that? It's like, I'm doing it now and I'm loving it. So I'm now part of a new group and it's like, I'm now able to see things like, you know, you're hanging around your friends and they're all getting stoned and you're just sitting there having some drinks and whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's like when you're all, you know, elevated, it's a different room completely because you're basically all on the same level. And your conversations are so much different either too, you know, because, you know, somebody drinking alcohol and somebody on weed, two different conversations.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you've got your group of girls or guys and they're sitting around and they're all on weed, the conversations are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because they're completely out there.
That is addictive to me. Like when we're surrounded by people who smoke weed, we're talking government conspiracies. We're talking aliens. We're talking gods and angels. We're talking all these fantastical, historical, like, stoners are the only people I know who become experts on everything. When they're stoned.
It's like me, when I get high, there's moments where it just takes me back to the beginning of time. And I am literally standing beside the original mother.
Yeah.
And my entire spirit is just elevated into the universe. I tend to go into the universe.
Yeah.
At that time. And it depends on what I'm consuming at the time, but most of what I consume, it's like, it relaxes my spirit and releases it. And then when I come back to myself, I am so light. It's like everything just lets go. And that is what is so amazing about it, because before cannabis, there was no letting go. We want to hold on to all that stress and hold on to all that grief and pain. We're just holding it, you know, compartmenting it all over us and put it here and put it in our back and put it in our throat. But when you get cannabis in your system, in your spirit, you have no choice but to release. Yeah. You have no choice to drop the luggage. And that's amazing. Because then you're able to deal with one piece of luggage at a time, rather than having that anxiety attack that makes you like, all of a sudden, all of it just hits you one shot and you're going ballistic. I've been there.
I was coming home the other day and it was one of those like, okay, this is 38. I didn't have enough money on my bank card for groceries. So I just called my mom, get her to put money on the card. I got home. My hands were full. I had to put the bags down before I opened the door because I couldn't carry everything.
Wow.
Come through the front door of my apartment and my purse got stuck on the door. And so my legs went forward and my head went back. And I just had to stand there for a minute and go, okay, put the bags down, take a minute, de-stress. And it was such a life lesson because we're so used to carrying everything all at once.
Everything for everyone, not for just
everybody,
for ourselves.
Right?
For everybody.
Nobody ever calls and says, hey, do you have the mental capacity to listen to me right now? Because I need to talk. They're just like, okay, how are you? Okay, let me tell you how I am. And then it's a long list of like why everything in their world sucks, right? And so I had to cut everybody out of my life for a really long time and be like, I just need to focus on just me and my crazy. And when that happened with the groceries, it was kind of like, okay, the universe is talking and I'm actually listening. And cannabis did that. Cannabis did that.
Yeah, you have to listen. It makes you listen and you hear a lot.
Yeah.
How
do you block it out? Because that's the one thing that I struggle with, is hearing a lot of stuff that's none of my business, that I'm not interested in. Like when I masturbate, I can't fantasize anymore because I channel people. And it gets too like intimate. And I'm like, it feels like they're almost in the room with me especially when I'm stoned.
Yeah.
And so I have to just like, I have to just not focus on anybody.
For me, it's music. Music, yeah. When I want to walk things out, it's music. Music, I thrive. I thrive on music. I love it so much. It's either really good music. Sorry?
Who's your go-to?
Oh, my go-to for my music, I like Daniel Caesar.
Okay.
I like Daniel Caesar. I like anything reggae, roots. Especially roots reggae. It's like really the old school, the skanking stuff, you know, the really heavy drum, those kind of things. When I'm mellowing, it's Daniel Caesar along the lines of his kind of music. But when I'm like, what I really want to get really out there, it's the roots. It's the roots music.
Like, I love the band, The Roots. They have a song called The Seed. And when that shit comes on, it goes up. Like, I don't care if it's 6 a.m. I don't care if it's 3 in the morning. I crank it. That is my favorite song. There is something about that band in particular that just, it makes me like physically and spiritually orgasm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, damn, there it is. That connection that they have to the music.
It helps carry you to if you're already elevated, it basically gives your elevation a boost.
Yeah.
And for me, I close my eyes, I feel and I hear the music, and nobody better touch me when I'm in my zone, because I'll go off. Don't make me come out of my zone, because I'll be very, very upset.
Well, okay? Yeah, because we spent so much time being miserable. And when we find our zone, it's like, let me feel it. Let me enjoy it. Let me be, get out of my way. I have a person that I love. I'm probably going to marry this person. I adore this person. But when I'm stoned, I'm like, just go. Like, I get it. The rest of the world thinks you're a walking, living God. I don't care. Get out of my space. Let me be.
At that moment, I need to be on my own. I have a she shed in my backyard, and I'll go out there amongst my plants. My garden is where I feel even the most elevated as well. And so when I'm seshing and I go into my she shed and I'm surrounded by my plants and I crank my music up, everybody knows, do not come into that place, because I am not here. I am literally not on this planet. I have left this planet, you know, so I can learn and see new things, so that when I come back, then I administer these things that I've learned into my life. You know, into my life, to see what's more important. And the most important thing is every breath that I inhale and exhale. That's the most important thing. I always tell people, I woke up this morning, I don't give a shit about anything else. Once I wake up in the morning, nothing else matter, because you can't get much shit done when you're 6 feet under. You know, it don't work. You know what I'm saying?
No, it doesn't.
So once you're awake, the rest doesn't matter.
No, and that's the funny thing, because like I feel like in the last couple of months, maybe even the last couple of weeks, I've pulled away from the trauma, right? And I'm like, my brain's like, but there's more. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And my brain's like, but no, there's more stories to tell you about what you've been through. And I'm like, no, seriously, I'm good.
Exactly.
I'm done. I no longer need to go back into my mind and see all the child porn trauma. It's done. Like I'm over it. I am ready to move on and be happy.
I literally, when I find thoughts, because same thing here, I was molested as a child. Yeah. And when I find myself, sometimes, I don't know, it'll just like pop in my head, and I just have this, like, I always say there's like two of me. There's the side of me that's, there's a little girl in me.
Yeah.
Who always in my ear, you know, look what this happened. This guy got away with it. This person got away with it. And I literally yell out, shut up. I literally, you have to.
Yeah, no, I've done it.
You have to yell, could you please just shut up? Shut the fuck up. You're driving me crazy. And when I do that, it just stops. I'm not, you know, I don't hear people call it crazy, whatever, but it works. You have to confront these things, acknowledge they exist, and turn around and tell that little girl in your head to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop now.
Yeah.
I am where I am. You were where you were. And I'm trying to get you where I am into a peaceful place.
I love you so much. I want to cry, because I've been going through that all week. All week I've been like, well, is this what you want to do? I'm like, shut. Will you fuck off? This is what I am doing. Exactly. It doesn't matter if you agree or he agrees or they agree. This is what I am doing. This is where I'm happy. Stop asking me questions. If I wanted to be somewhere else, I would be somewhere else.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have to acknowledge it.
Yeah. You acknowledge it, but then you move on. Like, you have to. And I know, like, I worked in addictions, and so I know that there are some people out there who are, like, they're stuck in that phase of, oh, my God, this happened and that happened, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. But, like, they're also homeless. They're living in addiction. They're not getting any better. There is no support for people that are that far gone. And I'm like, that's not where I want to be. And so if that's not where I want to be, then I have to focus on the things that are opening doors for me so I can go where I want to be. And so, like, it's so weird because I'm taking my cannabis certification.
Congratulations.
Ninth grade science me is laughing her ass off because she's like, I told you we should have paid more attention.
Should have gone to class.
I feel so dumb. I have two notebooks somewhere around here, like, stacked with information, and I don't understand any of it. And I'm like, halfway through, I'm like, I gotta get stoned. And then all of a sudden my brain's like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yes, because we declogged our brain.
Yeah. Cannabis education is like a weird thing. It's not what I thought it was going to be at all, because Kadisha took a different course. She took one that's like more about laws and stuff, right? And so I was like, this is going to be bare bones, and I'm gonna it's going to be super simple. No, it's complicated, it's messy. Yeah.
All you want to do is just smoke it, right?
Keep it simple. And I'm like, I can't, I got to study. Somebody paid for me to take this course. I got to be responsible. And I just want to get stoned like all day. You have a company. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your company, please.
Okay. My company is called As Intended All Natural. And this company has been around for 6 years now. And I started that, I think I could say even so, the weed got me motivated to that too. Because once I got away from the pharmaceutical medication and onto the cannabis, I thought, well, how else can I more, you know, make my life more natural? Mm-hmm. And it came down to the products that I use on my skin and products that my family uses. And I thought, when I go to the store and try to look for a face cream or a body cream, I kind of check the ingredients. And I always wonder, why is there so much junk in these things? If I want to buy a shea butter body lotion, why is it the shea butter is like the 10th ingredient down on the list of ingredients? Why isn't it the first? Like, if I want shea butter, why doesn't it just say shea butter? Why do I need all these other things? I started looking up what these things are and whatnot. I'm like, there's got to be a better way. It's got to be something else that I can do. And I started, again, more research into how I can do better for myself and for my family when it came to what we use in our home for our skin and hair products. And
I just want to say, like, yeah. I'm probably going to post this video so everyone can see it. This woman's skin is fucking flawless. Beyonce wishes she had this skin. Like, it's beautiful. You, like, every picture on your Instagram is ridiculous. Every single picture is on point. So whatever you're putting in this stuff is clearly working.
I've used it my whole life. I feel so good. Not like when if I go into a pharmacy, say I'm just going to pick up some kind of food or whatever, that I can walk right past the aisle of body lotion, of hair creams or whatever it is, junk they're selling, even shampoo. I walk right past it and I feel so blessed, because in the 6 years I've been able to create my own hair butter, my own shampoo, my own conditioner, my own face cream, my own body lotion. My kids right now, they don't buy anything out of the pharmacy for their skin. They'll just come say, Ma, we're out of shampoo. Ma, I'm out of face cream. Ma, I got a pimple on my face. What do you got? And for me, I realized from doing what I do, I have changed already a generation of children who, when they get to that age where they can start doing for themselves, that now they won't go into a pharmacy to go look for hair cream or whatever. They'll go to their mother, or they'll learn to make stuff themselves and give it to their children and stay away from the stuff on the shelf, because it's not made for us. It's made to poison people. And so I said, no, I don't want to be poisoned anymore. I take my choice of having my life in my own hands. And say, if I need a dictionary to read the ingredients on a product, why am I using it? It makes no sense.
I want to go back to what you said about when you're using cannabis and connecting to your spiritual side and the ancestors, because A, I've done that. I've sat on my balcony and I've been like, those are slave women in the in those fields, and I can hear them and they can hear me. What the fuck? And doctors, y'all might think that I'm hallucinating. I don't give a fuck. I have seen the slave women in the field. Okay. They have spoken to me. And the reason that I want to go back to that is because what you're doing with your business as a Black owned woman entrepreneur is genuinely and literally breaking generational curses.
It is. It really is.
You're going back to the tradition of mom teaching the kids how to take care of themselves the way that our ancestors would have taken from the cotton fields or taken from the forest to take care of their skin in a country that was not their own.
It's all there. All the medicine's always been there. The medicine has always been there. Because when I listen to my mom speak, and she talks about her childhood, how they used to use the ash from the fire to brush their teeth, and they used to use aloes in their hair and all those things. And I'm always fascinated by these stories. And I'm like, so you guys were doing that, but what made you change to using the stuff off the shelf? If what you were doing was working, because my mother, she said, I had beautiful long hair. All my sisters had really gorgeous hair. And that wasn't stuff that they got out of a pharmacy. It was some things they got from their backyard. So I'm like, if that worked for you guys then, why can't it work for us now? Why the all the junk that these people are putting in all this, these products? So I'm like, you know what? I'm taking it back. I'm going straight back to where my mother was, where she grew up, where her grandmother and those guys grew up. And I'm going to bring up my ancestors back. And girlfriend, they talk to me all the time. My ancestors speak to me on a daily, praise God. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. We have to listen to them because they tell us every day what to do and how to do it right.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get it perfect all the time, but the key is to listen. You know, they're talking to us. And once you listen, miracles happen.
I feel like it doesn't even matter. Like, your ancestors can be Indigenous, Black, Jewish, white, whatever. They know. They know where they fucked up. They know where they did good. They have advice. They're willing to give it to you.
And they can see where we're fucking
at. Yeah. And they see where we're fucking. Why would you not listen to that? Right. And I remember when I came out and I said to my doctor for the first time, I had been committed. And I said, this is all the stuff that happened to me. Cult rape, generational rape, blah, 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 blah. And he looked at me and he said, you sound psychotic. And I said, I sound psychotic. So what you're saying is you don't believe me. And that took the wind out of my sails because it was like, well, if he doesn't believe me and he's a doctor, then nobody's going to believe me. And the more that I got connected with cannabis and with myself and with Bud Sisters and with all of these amazing women across the country, the more I was like, I don't need you to believe me. Because I got my ancestors and my family and my tribe, and they believe me. Right. And that all started with cannabis.
Tribe is very important.
And you started your business because of cannabis.
Mm-hmm. That got me started. Because
it's
going back natural. I was in that natural zone, and I wanted to continue it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I have no plants in my house. I have cats. Mm-hmm. We already discussed how the kittens are doing. I don't want to get into it. It's been a bad week, but I have no plants in my house. But in my head, in my future house, in my like end product, everything is pretty. Come look at my crib, MTV. There will be plants everywhere. There will be a she shed. There will be Devin gardening,
everything. Right?
Because I know that like when it comes to cannabis, you can't just smoke it. You can't just put it in your body. You have to connect to it. You have to like.
Thank you for what you do. It's an experience.
Yeah.
It really is an experience. You have to be in a comfortable place. First of all, you have to be in a zone. You have to, and if you can't, if wherever you are, if you can't smoke it at the time, you know, then bring some oil with you, something, whatever's going to help you get into that place where you need to be.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm no longer have a shame about it. I'm like, you know what? I'm taking my medicine. And I explained to my kids, well, my kids are all grown, they're all adults now, but even it was a shock for them when I started. And it's like, you know what? I have no shame in saying this is my medicine, right? It's either mommy takes this junk that's going to eat away my liver, my stomach, my brain. It's going to make my head foggy, or I go back to what God intended me to have. And I use that because when I first thought of the name of my business, I thought, you know, I want to take things back to as God intended them to be. from the beginning, as far back as I possibly can. And that's the whole thing. Everything that we use, everything that I use in my products is as God intended them to be. God didn't say, yo, you got any, 13 letter stuff that you can grow in your backyard? It's like, no. Oh, you got aloe? Yeah. You got coconut? Yeah, I got that. You got lemon? I got that too. Yeah. Then let's work with it, and that's what I do.
I remember there was a time a psychiatrist gave me 600 milligrams a day of lithium. And I took it for 3 days and I went back and I said, I'm not taking this shit anymore. Like, I sleep all day. How is this helpful? This is not getting me better where I want to be mentally. No. And so he said, well, then I can't help you. And I said, all right, peace out. I started smoking cannabis. I lost my mind. Not gonna lie. I went crazy. There was a lot of stuff to deal with and it was a little overwhelming. But I feel like now I'm back and I'm here. And I'm looking to women like you who started your own business, who are an entrepreneur, who knows what it's like to be Black or colored in a country that wants to ignore we exist. And I'm going, how can I get where they are? What's the first step? And it would be easy for people who listen to this show to be like, well, clearly the first step is smoking cannabis. Nope. The first step is not smoking cannabis. And nope. I know you know the answer, so I'm gonna let you say it.
For me, I found the first step for me was to stop being afraid. Mm-hmm. Because fear stopped me from getting into cannabis, right? So once I decided to stop being afraid, everything just opened up for me.
Yeah.
I would never have thought started my own business before I started cannabis, because I was always so afraid. What if this and what if that? All, being nailed down by that whole what if nail, that nail with the big what if on the bottom of it. You're just like hammering it into yourself every single day. What if, what if? So what? Fuck the what if. Yeah. Stop being afraid.
Yeah.
Stop being afraid. Stop nailing yourself into your own what if coffin.
When I started smoking, I had quit my job at the station because I'd been arrested for having a panic attack on an airplane because I didn't want to come home. I was like, I don't want to deal with all the shit of like gangs and abuse and I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to go home. And so I had a panic attack and I got arrested and I came home. I had stopped working at the church. I wasn't working at the station because I needed time to decompress. And I walked over to my friend's place and I was like, give me your weed. And she goes, you don't smoke. I said, give me your weed. I'm going to start. Cause if I'm going to start drinking. Cause I knew it was coming. Right. I knew what was coming. I knew the walls in my brain were like, okay, well, if you have all this time, let's deal with all the shit you've been avoiding. And so I needed something to cushion that blow. And it was like, if I take the drink, I'm not coming back up. And I knew that. Right. And so like you said, it was like, well, what am I afraid of? I don't have a job. I'm on disability and nobody here to judge me all day. I'm home by myself. So who's going to care?
That's me.
Yeah. It was the perfect time for me in my life. Exactly when I needed it. And there's a lot of like, well, why didn't you start smoking earlier? And it was like, because I wasn't ready.
That's right. Didn't like a tattoo. All my friends got tattoos and aren't you going to get a tattoo? And I said, I'm not ready to get a tattoo. I didn't get my first tattoo till I was in my 40s. Because that's when I was ready. Same thing with
I look at every single one of my tattoos and they're beautiful. They're done by great artists. I love my artists. Don't get me wrong. They're some of the coolest guys in the world. But like, my wedding dress is going to be caked in makeup. Because I'm not getting married with a giant half-naked witch on my arm. It's not happening.
Why not? Because that's your day just to be you, baby. Don't change nothing, man.
Because I want the pretty picture.
But you are the pretty picture.
I love God, I love you.
You are pretty picture. Why would you want a pretty picture when you are the pretty picture? That's what we have to learn. We are the pretty picture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All kind of colors in a picture, and we are all those colors. Black, white, purple, green, yellow, orange. We are all these colors.
So you're gonna be at my wedding. I'll settle down and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be a wife. I'm not there yet, but when it happens, you're gonna be there.
Thank you.
Manning the she shed where we'll be getting so lit that I'll forget what it is I'm supposed to say.
Oh yeah, no negative energy in the she shed. Keep it outside, man, with your shoes. Leave that shit outside. Right?
I actually want to build one on my deck just because I mean it's a balcony, so like whatever, but I still want that place that's outside my bedroom, that is just, that's outside, that's in the fresh air, that I can, I saw somebody had a trellis on their balcony a couple days ago, and I was like, that's really cool because you can sit in there under the winter time, and like they had a fireplace.
Yeah. I'm out there all winter long. When I have a she shed that's out in the middle of the yard, and then my husband on my deck basically made a, I call it a ghetto solarium with wood and plastic, and I'm out there all year round.
Whatever works, man.
In the house, I love it so much.
Yeah,
it works. Yes, exactly, it works.
You got it. Like I feel like, I mean, the bedroom is a sacred space and everything, and that's inside, right? Like it's closed in. You need that fresh air and that sunlight and the air and the all of the elements coming together when you're smoking and
Mother Nature
and enjoying. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram at @asintended_allnatural, I believe it is. Also, I have another page called Vegan Villain or Cuckoo for Veganism. And I'm also on Facebook as Intended All Natural, and on my website, www.aian.ca, where I have all my products, even for men and for women. And it's like, go there, get what you need, get what your body's begging you for. And yeah, that's it. I also have a page on Facebook called Vegan Villain as well, where cause I do
all
a lot of
that will be in the show notes.
Yeah, I've got all that in there. I do all that.
If you had, this is how you know that this is a ghetto podcast, because you can hear the trash can going by, because I didn't mute my microphone in time.
It's a lie.
One day
it's
when I'm interviewing Oprah, you won't hear any of that shit.
Life goes on.
Right? If you had one piece of advice for the girls coming up after you, who are Black or brown or colored or loud and want to be entrepreneurs and are not sure of where to go, what would your advice be?
Fuck fear. Fuck fear. It is so paralyzing. It's the worst thing that can happen to you is for you to end up dead. And if it, whatever you're going to do is not going to kill you, fuck fear. Whether it's asking for that promotion, starting a new business, all these things, what you need to do, I always say you're in a car, you're the driver. Fear should be in the fucking trunk. You have confidence beside you, right? You have positivity in the back seat. You've got energy in the back seat with positivity, but fear put his fucking ass in the trunk. He has no right to ride up front with you. Okay, you decide who drives in your life car. Fear, not say he's not gonna pop out every once in a while. When he pops out, you'd be like, okay, yeah, I know you're in the trunk. I know you're there, but I'm driving today. You're not driving. And put his ass back in the trunk where he belongs. So fuck fear. That's my advice.
When is your book coming out?
My what? My who?
I need you to write a book. I need you to start a podcast. I need you to start a website. I need you to be a life coach. I need you to do all the things. Now, I don't know if that's what you want to do, but that's what I'd like. You are seriously, and I mean this genuinely, there are people on this planet who, they are not celebrities. They are not rich. They are not perfectly happy all the time. They don't have every second of every moment figured out, but they are light and they are love and they are joy. And you are one of those people. And I want more. I'm selfishly like, I want you to write a book. I want you to do all the things so I can learn from you, because yeah.
It's just about trying to take your life back. And it does not happen overnight at all. It takes a while. Don't ever force yourself to get better quickly. It'll just be worse. It'll just make things worse. Take your time. You didn't become like this overnight. You know, it wasn't overnight. It took a while for you to get to where you are. So it's going to take
a
while.
That's the part. Because I'm like 35 years in, you've been through a lot of shit. You're not going to get over it in 4 years. Like you need to. And I struggle really hard with giving myself permission to like not get it right all the time. Like my house is a mess right now, y'all. My house is a mess. It is. I am the before picture, okay? There's a reason that I am not on all the shows and my nails aren't done and MTV's not checking out my place. It is a mess. But I'm happier than I've ever been before because I'm finally dealing with it.
Amen. And giving yourself permission.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I love you. Ascend it all natural, Miss Sabrina. Thank you for being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know more, you can check her out on Instagram. The links will all be in the show notes. And if you want to learn more from me, you can check me out at loudmouthbrowngirl.com. Don't forget to stay lifted, sis.
You too, baby. Have a blessed day.